Okay. Good morning. I'm going to call the Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement to order. Sorry about the delay, folks and members, but we are getting organized. We had to, of course, move this meeting from last night to this morning. I actually have my finance committee going on right now, so I've been going back and forth, and we have some bills that we have to get through there. But we have a long agenda that we need to get started with, and we're going to start with the LCPR 17-035, Representative Murphy. And members, at the end, we will be taking a vote on the omnibus retirement bill and moving that to state gov, which my goal is to get to at 10 o'clock today. So, Ms. Lincheski or Ms. Barth?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, LCPR 17-035 is the bill that allows a Duluth Township clerk to elect retroactive para general coverage back to April 2001, when she should have been switched from the para defined contribution plan to the para general plan, when her position changed from an elected local official to an appointed official.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, I move this amendment be added to the bill, and it's a permissive amendment. And I talked to Ms. Cox yesterday, and she said that commission staff has been so helpful, especially Ms. Barth, that I should give Ms. Barth red mittens.
We forgot to get those red mittens. We were going to get you some red mittens. Are there any questions and comments? Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I'm just sorry, trying to get caught up here. This impacts PERA. Do we have a position from them on this proposal?
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We did take testimony on this on Monday night as a number two, and I'm not going to speak specifically on behalf of PERA, but we did indicate that there were numbers that were being generated, Senator Pappas, kind of similar to what we've done in the past when you and I were chair and vice chair. So I've learned to ask those questions on both of our behalves.
All right. Thank you.
Senator Pappas. Yeah. Would you like any testimony or verification?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. I had to leave early on Monday, so I missed that. Apologize.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Murphy, would you like to move the Representative Murphy moves the LCPR 17-035 to be recommended to pass and be incorporated in the 2017 Omnibus Pension Bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Members, on to item number two. Members, we have the LCPR 17-036, Representative Murphy, the MSRS unclassified.
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the amendment. And I talked about this on Monday night also, and said that it was a result of talking to various people that this option should be available.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Moves the LCPR 17-036. Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye to be recommended to pass and be incorporated into 2017 Omnibus Pension Bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, members, we have the number three item, Senate File 1705. The MSRS revising enhanced augmentation rates and the related exemptions for enhanced augmentation for certain terminated privatized employees, the Fairview. Senate File 1705, House File 2126. And members, we have an amendment before us too, and just like to start this discussion. The amendment is the 4A discussion, and Ms. Lincheski, could you go through that, please?
Yes, Senator Rosen, the 4A amendment is somewhat similar to the MSRS board recommendation, except that it drops the 4.5. It drops the augmentation rate to 4.5 right away. So January 1, 2018, the current 5.5% and 7.5% rates would drop immediately to 4.5%, and then it goes. The rate would go down every year thereafter until 2023, at which point it would be zero. So you could see the schedule of how the reduction would occur every year. And, you know, augmentation goes up effective each January 1, so that would happen until 2023, and after that point there would be no further augmentation.
Members, questions, comments?
Madam Chair, I move the amendment.
Senator Limmer?
I move the amendment.
Senator Limmer moves the 4A amendment. Questions, comments? Okay. Senator Limmer renews his motion on the 4A amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Division has been requested on the 4A amendment. All those in favor, please raise your hand. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All those opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The 4A amendment is adopted. Members, so we have the amended Senate File 1705, House File 2126. Any further comments or questions? Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I think we, and unfortunately the Senate, I think, missed most of the testimony yesterday or on Monday because you were in session or in caucus or something, deciding to go ahead with your omnibus bills, I guess. And it was pretty clear from the testimony that, to me and from the past testimony, that there was an agreement on this when this was passed. And this is very distinguishable, in my opinion, from... and we've gone over this before, but I think it's important to get on the record. Very different from other pension decisions we made. And so I think this is the wrong direction for us to be going, and I would ask that we oppose this.
Thank you, Representative Thiessen. And actually, we were in session on Monday night when there was testimony, and we did have testimony earlier in the Pension Commission on this very provision. And the agreement that had been made had been changed over the previous year, so there was a lot of influx, and I think that's at the time that the Legislative Commission comes into to play here. So any further comments? Senator Pappas?
Madam Chair, I'm trying to understand the procedure and where we are on the agenda. Are we now accepting other amendments for the omnibus bill, or what are we doing?
No, Senator Pappas, we are on number 3.
Number 3?
Right.
I thought we just voted for that.
We just voted for the amendment.
We voted for the amendment to the bill. So then the next proposal is to incorporate that into the omnibus bill.
Absolutely.
I got it.
Okay. 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 Further comments? Questions? Representative O'Driscoll moves that Senate File 1705, House File 2126, as amended, be recommended to pass and incorporated in the 2017 omnibus pension bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. The bill does pass. Members, we have item number 4 before us. LCPR 17-038, Minnesota Public Employee Pensions Plans, Benefit, and Contribution Changes. And Ms. Lincheski, if you could please go through this.
Madam Chair, I did a fairly, Rachel and I, Ms. Barth, did a pretty complete and detailed review of the bill on Monday night. I'll just do a very general overview then, based on the summary of the bill that was provided to everybody on Monday night. The bill can be divided into five categories of changes. The first are the benefit changes. Those include the elimination of augmentation, a phase-in on the elimination of augmentation in the early retirement reduction. There's also provisions for reducing the COLAs for MSRS and TRA, and also provisions for deferring the commencement of COLAs until normal retirement age. The bill also reduces the rate of interest paid on refunds of employee contributions to former employees. Finally, the bill requires the Pension Commission to conduct a study on COLA rates and methodology over the interim and return with recommendations for the 2021 legislative session. The second category are actuarial changes. These include the reduction in the investment rate of return to 7.5%, and the amortization period for all the plans is extended to 2047 for another 30-year period. Third category, the bill includes contribution increases. Those are detailed in the bill and also in our summary. The bill also includes two direct state aids, one to para police and fire, and the second to St. Paul teachers. Those two are detailed in the summary and the bill. And then finally, there are a number of language cleanup changes. Probably the biggest chunk of the bill is relates to the change in interest rates, wherein there's a reference to a new section that now contains all the interest rates for all the plans for things such as refunds, repayments, and the like.
Thank you, Ms. Majeski. Is there any comments, questions? Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just clarification, is the State Patrol employer contribution paid for in the bill?
Ms. Lancheski.
There is an increase in the employer and employee contributions for MSRS State Patrol for that plan in the bill. There isn't any appropriation in the bill, but there is an employer and employee contribution increase provision.
Representative Thiessen. And last time we met on Monday, you mentioned that there was going to be money for the $33 million for MSRS General and the $32 million for TRA in your budget targets and the budget bills you were going to pass off. I've reviewed the bills. We passed the education bill yesterday. There's nothing in there for TRA. So I just wanted to get clarification on your comment from Monday as to whether there's actually money to pay for these increases.
Representative Thiessen, as you know, this is a moving target, the whole budget negotiations. This does have to go to state government, then to rules, and then to finance. And at that point, the appropriations will be dealt with. Representative O'Driscoll. Representative Thiessen, first, please.
Thank you. But we passed the bills already. We've already passed the education bill. So where else would the money for TRA be other than the education bill?
Representative Thiessen, we are looking at the formula being absorbing the pension cost. And as I said, there's several more rounds coming, so there is money on the bottom line also.
Okay, so Madam Chair, just to be clear on the TRA, so if we're increasing funding by 1.5%, and the TRA actually goes up even more in the out biennium, if I'm not mistaken, to $79 million. So if we're increasing this 1.5%, which is probably inadequate anyway for most school districts. There was an article in the paper on Sunday that more than half the metro districts are actually going to be losing money under the legislative proposal as it stands. Now we're going to cut that by another $32 million. So those increases are not actually going to be even a percent and a half. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that the work is continuing on this proposal, Representative Thiessen, and so I'm not prepared to say exactly what's going to happen in finance, but we will be dealing with it in finance.
But, Madam Chair, I don't understand because we've already passed the omnibus education bill, so I don't understand where you're going to get more money unless that's all a fake exercise.
Well, Representative Thiessen, you've done this game before, and you know that these bills are going to be vetoed that were just passed off before. for?
I don't know that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to make a comment on the discussion that we're having here. Senator Rosen and I had a meeting scheduled with the governor on Monday, which he promptly, for whatever reason, chose to cancel that meeting where we were trying to work with his office to come to a solution on this. And we also know that in the budgeting process, we've been working to try to accommodate the needs for pensions. Representative Murphy made an eloquent comment on the House floor yesterday regarding her work and efforts to try to convince the governor's office to include money in the budget. We also know that there is money at the bottom line. We also know that there is a state rainy day fund. So there are places where we could take money from. What we're seeing right now is an inability for the governor with his schedule, as he's notified our leadership, limited time to be able to negotiate. And what I'd ask Representative Thiessen, because I agree 100% with what you're saying, we've got a problem on our hands. I would ask you, as the former speaker and a member of the governor's party, to encourage the governor to get back to the table to work with leaders on both sides of the legislature to attempt to get to a solution that's helpful for the people in the state of Minnesota as well as the students that you're concerned about. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. Well, I know that the governor has an entirely open schedule today because it was reported already that he had one yesterday and today. So I'm not sure what that's about. But the bottom line is the governor actually did put the money in the budget. So he has put the money in his budget. It's there. I don't know that he needs any more convincing about that. The place where the money is not put in is in the legislature. And Representative Murphy was absolutely right. That was important for the governor to actually take that step and put the money in his budget to make this a priority to get done. We did that when we were in charge. We actually had a separate line item for pensions in our House targets. It's very easy for the legislature to do that. You just haven't done it. So to try to shift blame onto the governor seems a little bit, well, I guess it kind of goes with the territory. But the bottom line is, I've asked this question from the very beginning of this session, as you know, because we go through all this work. We put people through all kinds of contortions here trying to understand how we're going to pass this pension bill. I've heard promise after promise for months now that we're actually going to get money in this budget, and it's not showing up. And so, you know, I'm going to keep asking that question until that promise is actually kept. So, I'm happy to talk to the governor to encourage him to stand by his position, which was to put money in the bill for pensions. So he's done that. It's up to you guys to come up with the money for pensions. And your offers so far have not done that. That's all we're at now. And we do have 10 days to go. I hope that we can make some changes.
Representative Thiessen, and duly noted, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the governor's plan, and that's how this bill that is before you was based off the governor's blue ribbon recommendations and followed it very succinctly. We've worked closely with the governor. I will admit I was very disappointed when he did cancel the meeting on Monday. It was supposed to be Friday, and that was Monday. And then, obviously, at 9:30 last night, his schedule opened up for us today because he was not available. But that being said, we are moving forward. We have very good discussions about pensions. We are committed to it. And you are making reference to the chair of finance, the Senate, and I am committed to make sure that this is continues to be a priority. But I think you are trying to debox me into a corner to say what is going to happen in the next 10 days, and I can't tell you, Representative Thiessen.
Well, Madam Chair, we have to vote on this bill. So we're going to be voting today on this bill with everything we know now to take $32 million away from our school districts. That's the effect of this vote, because that's the vote we're taking today on the information we have today. And so we need to get – I think this is an entirely fair question for someone that has to take a vote on this, whether I can in good conscience – vote for a proposal that, under the facts today, is going to take $32 million from all of our school districts.
It's Representative Thiessen, I don't believe it's taking it away from our school districts. We're supporting our school districts. We have a good proposal. We have a very good proposal out there, and we are continuing to work on it, and we are committed to work on it. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's one of the first questions I got from my House colleague, Representative Murphy, when I took over as chair of the Pension Commission, is did the Senate put money in their budget? And it took a while to kind of train the fiscal staff because we only do a sustainability plan every 4 or 5 years, so it's not so customary to think about budgets. And it took a while to get the governor and the MMB commissioner on board thinking about budgets after the governor vetoed the bill last year. But they're there. And I do feel that it's an unusual practice for us not to know where that money is and what the circumstances are when we vote the bill out of pension commission. And this was also some insecurity last year that happened. And I don't think it's a good precedent. I think we really should. We have usually agreed cross-party lines, cross-legislative bodies on what we need to do with a sustainability package. So I appreciate the hard work of Senator Rosen and Representative Driscoll, and I just wanted to share with you some of my ongoing concerns since this appears that this bill will move forward today. Besides figuring out where the money's coming from for the school districts and for the state agencies, and I hear there's $37 million floating around there somewhere for state agencies to cover pension costs, and I believe the governor had put in about $69 million for the biennium for school districts to cover pension costs. So that money is still to be determined. The other things with the benefit changes is I have some disagreement about eliminating augmentation. I think I've shared that with Senator Rosen, that I really think we should tie it to the COLA, because there's a public good for employees who leave state service to keep their money in the pension fund. It's good for the pension fund. It's also good for them. If there's no incentive for them to keep their money in the pension fund, then they could pull it out, and a lot of times that money does not roll over into another pension fund. So I have some concerns about that. The post-retirement COLA adjustment, I do have an amendment to deal with that. My concern there, and I can talk more later or now, is the rush to retire. That whenever we have early dates for people make their retirement plans, you know, far in advance, and they know how much they're going to have to live on. And so when we make these right-away adjustments, people feel like, teachers in particular, because they tend to retire earlier, that I better retire now before this goes into effect. And we have a teacher shortage. And so I think we should be careful and cautious about unintended consequences when we make pension plan adjustments. In terms of TRA, I do have an amendment on that, but I do feel it's that the 7.5 rate of return, we really need to have more of a phase-in for TRA so that there is time. Again, I agree that we need to go to 7.5, but to make the jump from 8.5 to 7.5 I think is too extreme. Otherwise, I think you've got a good bill, just a few minor details. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and this is also in my amendment, is the strong feeling from teachers that they are paying almost all of the normal cost of their pensions, and that needs to be shared between the employer and the employee. And especially with this bill, they're paying more and more of the cost of retirement, and the state portion is really going toward unfunded, thank you, the unfunded liability. And I think teachers have a very strong feeling that that's not fair. On top of it, the COLA cut also impacts them because that impacts their pension in the future. As you cut the COLA now, they're going to have less money in the future. So there's a sense that this isn't really shared sacrifice. This is too much of sacrifice by the teachers of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. Senator Schoen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and kind of just reiterating the discussions we've had before about budgeting for it, and I know that a lot of folks stood up last night on both sides and wished that the target was higher in education, and I'm nervous. I know when I look at my districts and think about that 1.5%, and I know you are too, about what that's going to do, and then to take the pension costs out of the base formula as well, too, is certainly even more concerning, and what that does to the actual percentage So, I mean, if I'm taking, you know, if it turns out to be $11 million a year off the base formula across the school districts, what does that do to that percent and a half increase? It just makes me nervous. And I know we'll hear more, but I, you know, the recruitment retention thing is a big piece. These teachers, you know, regularly have to get master's degrees, and they could do so much better in the private sector probably, and or have educations that are desired in the private sector, but we need them to grow our workforce. So I know my kids are in the schools, and I look to them to make our lives better. So I hope what you are going to work towards correcting this, and I know you will. So, but I wish we were doing better today.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to say I appreciate you making sure that we have this queued up, because I think that's, you know, our biggest challenge right now is making sure that we have the time to move this through the process. It has several committee stops that it needs to go through. I know on the House side it will need to go through the State Government Finance Committee. You know, I certainly share concerns about how this would impact our schools, and I know that that will be part of the conversation. But I know that you're looking at the clock, and I appreciate you looking at that clock, and I'm glad the governor has changed his position on his availability, because I think that that will help you in trying to get something negotiated. So I appreciate you keeping us on task. So just want to say that.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Okay. So, members, we have the 5A amendment before us, and...
Madam Chair, that's my amendment.
Okay, Senator Pappas moves the 5A amendment.
Madam Chair,
would you like to explain it? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Madam Chair, this is the issue I brought up that has to do with the early retirement. When you are creating a situation where teachers, if they retire early, have to wait many, many years before they get a COLA. If they retire at 55 and the COLA doesn't kick in until 18 months after the age 62, that's like 6.5 years before they get a COLA. So that really undermines the value of their pension. And this is where my concern is that you'll have the rush to retire. And Rachel can correct me if I'm not explaining this right. Okay. And we don't want that. You know, we're in a, you know, years ago we had incentives for teachers to retire because we had a surplus of teachers and we wanted to bring young people into the profession. And, you know, so we had the year of 90, we have other retirement incentives, but now we have a teacher shortage and we've come to value the career teachers and the kind of quality of education they provide. And it's a tough job, and they're often ready to retire early. But this will make them retire even earlier before this goes into effect. So I would appreciate Senator Rosen and her consideration and the House consideration on this proposal. I don't think that it affects the overall bill. I don't think we're saving that much money with this provision. So I would appreciate your comments.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Pappas. And we are... We were trying to figure out the amendments at this point. Representative Thiessen?
No, that's my question. I wanted to find out what amendment
we're on. 5A. 5A.
Senator Pappas and moved the 5A amendment. And
5A looks
like it was Senator Rosen, can I correct? You'll have to look very carefully up in the corner. 17038-5A is the amendment to the benefits bill. There is also a 5A for the 545 bill.
It's a different one. Right. Madam Chair, so members were so
Senator
confused
Pappas.
About the amendment, they didn't hear a word I said, right? let's not force teachers out of the profession prematurely. And that costs the fund more money, too, when teachers retire early.
Okay. Ms. Lencheski, would you like to, anything you'd like to add? Mm-hmm.
So the amendment changes the effective date then of the removal of the augmentation from the early retirement reduction. I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. Yes, I'm sorry. This is the delay. Yeah, that's right. This is the provision.
COLA.
each of these are provisions for the four plans, TRE, St. Paul, MSRS General, and Para General. The provision in the document right now in the bill defers the start of the COLA until normal retirement age, effective as of these dates, 2020 for St. Paul and 2018 for the others. The amendment would stretch out that effective date or extend it until 2023, so there would be able to be a phase in and more communication on that.
And Madam Chair, I had written this for TRA and St. Paul Teachers, but I was told by Aaron at MSRS that they're interested in it, and I believe PERA is as well.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. And I was just going to mention that it's all for all the plans. We have discussed this, and we are concerned about the early retirement and if there is going to be a rush to early retirement. So I think this is something that I'd like to consider accepting, but would be open to everybody else's comments. Member Senator St. John.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Pappas, would you just yield to a question?
Yes.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you very much.
Senator St. John.
We're certainly interested in teachers and retirements and so on and so forth. I'm also interested in fund sustainability. And so as we work towards building a lasting, sustainable fund here, it seems to me this amendment would prolong the time that it takes to reach that goal. Generally speaking, if I articulated that right, would you agree? I mean, this will have an effect on the number of years it takes to get to this, whatever, 90 or 100%.
Senator Pappas.
Is that correct?
That's Senator Sanjum and Madam Chair, I think that we could have Ms. Lincheski or Ms. Barth respond to that. I don't believe that it does cost that much if we make this change.
Ms. Lincheski.
Madam Chair, Senator Sanjum, early on we worked with the plans to get some cost estimates, and they did provide us with what amounts to an annualized amount that represents the actual savings of making this change. So I'm showing a total of $43 million on an annualized basis. If MSRS, this includes MSRS, PERA, TRA, and St. Paul Teachers. So it is a total of $43.4 million in savings on an annualized basis, and that is the actuarial savings.
Is that all the plans?
For all the plans.
So, Ms. Lincheski, but to answer Senator Sinjum's question, does that delay the cost savings going forward, this amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, it would delay the cost savings going forward if we don't put this in place according to the dates in the bill right now, which would be pretty much immediately. This cost savings will obviously be delayed for 5 years.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Pappas.
Okay. Further questions, comments?
Madam Chair, thank you. I'll just reiterate that it's very important that we, when we do changes in the factors like these, that we really allow for a phase-in and often a delay, because people have spent many hours working with their plan officials to figure out what their benefit is going to be and plan their retirement based on that. And for the legislature to come in and say, "Oh, by the way, you're going to get you're going to have a 10 or 15% reduction in your retirement," that can be very significant for people in their future. So I think it's better if we move cautiously. The important thing is that we make the change, not exactly when we make the change. So a lot of times, phasing it in, having a delayed implementation, that does help the plan sustainability into the future, even if it doesn't have an immediate effect. But long term, we are still moving in the right direction with the whole package and with this delayed implementation.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. Senator Schoen.
Madam Chair, and I guess I see where Senator Pappas is coming from, because I know, as I've tried to learn what we're doing here and more about the funds and how this operates and our investments, we're talking about 30-year windows of time, And when I'm curious to know how other shocks to the system, the pension system, have affected the bottom line, meaning versus, okay, here's the 2-year window versus the 10-year window or the 15-year window. And by that, I mean exactly what Senator Pappas says. If we all of a sudden shock the system and we push people out the door to retirement like we did in the police and fire plan, what does that do long-term for the viability, meaning are we actually causing more disruption by looking at the short-term window versus the long-term window? I think it would seem that this phase-in would actually be a better option for the plan long-term than it would be to all of a sudden put the stop on it at one time. Mm-hmm. So I think I would be a better option by far, but I mean, it's just
well, Senator, one Joan, kid's observation. I believe that this was above and beyond. We looked at the governor's plan. We adjusted accordingly, which we thought was how we needed to move the proposals, and then we started looking at benefit reforms, and we looked at that and had hearings, and we actually sat down a lot with the benefit managers to make sure that these reforms were adaptable and were appropriate for where we need to move the sustainability going forward. But I do feel also I try not to voice my opinion too much, but I do think this is a sensible move to phase it in. And with that, further questions, comments? Senator Pappas removes her motion on the 5A amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. Then, members, we have the 7A amendment before us. It's a technical amendment. Representative O'Driscoll. Would you like to move the 7A amendment?
Madam Chair, I'll move the 7A amendment to 17038.
Thank you. And Ms. Lincheski?
The 7A, this is again to 17038, is a technical amendment. It makes some minor word changes. It uses applicable normal retirement age instead of age 65 because the plan's still use two different applicable two different normal retirement ages depending on when you became employed. There is also a paragraph that was omitted. This is line 1.6 and 1.7 from St. Paul's section of the bill. This would have removed or caused the deferral in the COLA to not impact people who would retire under Rule of 90. Then there is again some more fixes on cross-references. And then finally, there is an addition to one of the state aids at the end of the bill, which includes the required appropriation language in order to provide the funding for that.
Questions, comments on the 7A? Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Lincheski on line 1.13 and 1.14.
Could you just, Representative Albright, can you speak up a little bit?
I can.
I can't even hear you.
On lines 1.13 and 1.14 of the amendment, I'm just wondering if you could just give me a little more elaboration in terms of why we're striking the word accepted and inserting the word issue. Is this just terminology based upon legality, or is it just to conform it to other sections of the bill?
Ms. Lincheski.
Madam Chair, sorry.
Ms. Barr.
Representative Albright, what amendment are you looking at?
That's 7A.
So this, it's the 17-038 7A? I apologize. So that's to conform because last year in the 2016 omnibus bill for one of the administration provisions, I believe it was for St. Paul teachers, they updated the language to change accepted to. Thank you. Sorry. accepted to issued. It's just an updated language. It was passed last year with that update, and we just wanted to make sure that when it was merged in, it conformed.
Representative Albright. Further questions, comments on the 7A technical amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Amendment is adopted. And members, we have this 8A amendment before us. Representative Thiessen.
Madam Chair, I think this is still my amendment, the 17038, 8A.
Okay, Senator Pappas.
Thank you. Madam Chair, what this amendment is, this is the TRA sustainability proposal. I felt that, except for a little bit last year, we haven't really passed a major reform bill without the plans being on board. So I think it's important for us to remember the difference between the proposal before us and what TRA is recommending, and to at least have a vote on that, to be fair to them. So Ms. Lencheski and Ms. Barth is going to help me if I forget anything, but the three things, the major things, are that the bill before us moves their COLA from 2 to 1%, and the TRA proposals bounces that, also moves it to 1%, but moves it back up to 1.5 after 5 years. The employer contribution in the bill is 1% over 4 years, 7.5% to 8.5%, and TRA really feels that they need 2% over 4 years. And to, or actually, I think it would bring it to 9%, so that would be 9.5%. All right, I'm not sure about that. You're going to have to correct me on whether they want to move it to 9% or 9.5%.
Ms. Barth.
Madam Chair and Senator Pappas, yes, so they would go, it's a 2% employer contribution increase, and it would go from 7.5% to 9.5%.
To 9.5%. Okay, yes. So I was right. The employee contribution in the bill goes from 7.5% to 8.25% over 4 years, and TRA really feels that the teachers are paying enough, especially with the COLA cut. So is there anything that I missed, Ms. Barth?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Pappas. So the amendment also puts back in the pension adjustment for the school aid formula. It also adds in the provision that TRA had that when an individual retires and they come back, so they're considered a re-employed annuitant, the employer will pay employer contributions okay. on them. And for interest rates on repayments such as refunds or contribution omissions, TRA in their original proposal stated 8.5 rather than moving down to 8 or 7.5 like the other plans. So those are all okay. of the changes.
All right. Thank
Senator
you.
Pappas.
So, Madam Chair,
Senator
Pappas. I would then move the 17038-8A amendment.
Senator Pappas moves the 8A amendment. Questions, comments?
Madam Chair.
Representative Driscoll.
What are your wishes on this? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I know that we've done a lot of work on this, and I don't know how this changes the actuarial assumptions and things that we've talked about. So I'm going to ask you as the chair what your wishes are of the commission on this.
Well, thank you, Representative Driscoll, and I would be opposed to this amendment. I feel that the commission and the plans have made some sustainable movements. This is different than what the governor even proposed as far as this Blue Ribbon panel. I believe we should get all the pension funds on the same plane. We did have a veto last year that threw the TRA into at the 8.5% assumed rate, which did complicate things and was very costly, a veto for TRA. But I do believe with some of the other reforms that we have, with this last amendment that we just adopted, we need to start thinking of all the plans fairly, and this would put all put TRA back into a different realm than all the other plans and what we're requiring to get to at least 90% solvent within our augmentation period. So I would oppose the amendment, but thank you for asking. Representative O'Driscoll, how would you feel about this?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would agree. The governor is very clear when putting the Blue Ribbon panel together that all plans need to go to 7.5%. Mansco Perry has testified that the formulas and the investment assumptions that he's looking at will be a little bit even less than the 7.5%. So to continue to allow for outliers on here is a shift in a gimmick, if you will. That sometimes is a term that's used around this place. But you can clearly point to, I want a different number so I can look better versus what the realities of what the plan managers, what the investment managers are telling us that they anticipate returns to be. So I would support a no vote with Senator and Chair Rosen on this.
Thank you. Further comments, questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Teason.
Thank you. I would first of all reiterate what Senator Pappas said, which is we usually proceed on these when we get the stakeholders into agreement, and particularly the plan that is at issue. And that's not the case here. TRA does not support this. We heard that testimony clearly. The teachers, active, do not support this. The retirees do not support this. We can focus on the 7.5%, but this is much more than just the 7.5%. And this notion that we need to get every single plan to look the same, when historically every single plan has never looked the same, seems to me to be putting kind of an ideological position or a theoretical position over practicality. I think Senator Pappas is exactly on the right track here. This is the place that we can get to where we can get a bill passed and signed into law. So I would just encourage us to support this amendment.
Okay. Further comments? Questions? Senator Pappas renews her motion on the 17038-8A amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The motion does not prevail. So do we have another? Members, the 6A amendment will be passed out. Representative Teason, will you all let you start explaining your 6A amendment, why it's being passed out, please?
I don't know. Thank you, Madam Chair. So the 6A amendment takes out the changes to para general. So, we have the big reform proposals we've been talking about all session around TRA, around para correctional, around MSRS. We haven't had much discussion around these changes to para general, and the testimony on Monday night, every single person that came to the table opposed these. They're not going to generate, as I understand it, savings. This seems to be something that we should, if you want to proceed with these, work on over the interim and talk through some of these changes. There hasn't been that, as far as I know, there hasn't been very significant public discussion of these changes to para general, there's no rush to get these done, as I understand it. So I would just say, let's take these out since we have opposition from the para board, since we have opposition from the employees, from the retirees. I mean, everybody affected by this, including, again, the para board, who has an actual affirmative opposed position to these changes. I think we should take them out and look at them long term. I don't believe these generate any savings for the plan. So,
Madam Chair,
could
Ms. Barth talk about what changes that are being proposed that Senator Teason is
absolutely
wanting to take out?
Madam Chair and Senator Pappas, so this essentially takes para general out of all the benefits changes and kind of reincorporates their funding proposal that we heard back in February. So it keeps their amortization period at 2031 because they did not propose to extend that. It keeps an augmentation for deferred terminated employees. People will be able to receive a COLA before normal retirement age. It keeps the triggers in. And does not take does not take augmentation out of the early retirement reduction factors. So just status quo, essentially, maintains it.
And it probably does.
Representative Teason.
And I probably misspoke. There probably are savings that generate from some of those changes. But again, these are changes that I don't really think were discussed related to para general in this committee in any significant fashion. And again, the para board has an opposed position. The employees and the retirees are opposed to it. I don't know why we wouldn't wait till next year to kind of work through some of the changes proposed here, since it just, in some sense, just kind of appeared out of nowhere.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Ms. Barth, as far as like getting us solvency, this doesn't change anything. So we're still going to be at a, we're still going to have problems, correct?
Ms. Barth.
Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, so originally Para General did not have any proposals because their trajectory was going up. But with that, you also are vulnerable to market downturns. So there is a give and take, and that assumes all assumptions are met. So there's always the possibility that it will not continue to go up. There are cost savings that go along with these benefit changes. We've had Deloitte look at them. And it will save the plan money, these benefit changes. But, yes, Para General is not in the same state as the other plans are in terms of funding. They are in a better spot in general.
Ms. Barth, does this takes out the augmentation factor too, this amendment?
Yes, this takes out any benefit change that we have discussed so far that is in the big bill. And it keeps their COLA trigger in. And yes, so those just kind of essentially maintain status quo that Para General's in right now.
So, Representative Teason, I am fairly certain that we did discuss this publicly. We've certainly had the conversations with the para manager, fund manager, about this, our reform moving forward. We're committed to the direct aid. And so I am going to oppose this amendment just because I know there was testimony the other night, Monday night, that the board did not approve it, but that was news to me. Because we had been working towards these reforms all session long, and so I thought we were moving succinctly. Representative Teason?
Okay, Madam Chair. Nonetheless, they still are opposed to it. Yeah. Whether it was news or not, they're opposed to it, as the employees are, as the retirees are. The fund, as Ms. Barth noted, this fund in particular is on the right trajectory to get the goal that you said you wanted to get to. And so I don't know why we wouldn't work through these issues to get where you wanted to get, which is to actually get the board on board and to get some consensus about where this ends up. So I just think this, this notion that we need to reform so we can say we do reform, I don't really buy into that, frankly. And we should do reform that's actually going to make a difference for these funds. And as Senator Senjum said, keep them sustainable. Perry is sustainable. So why we're making these benefit changes that are actually going to reduce people's benefits in a context where their fund is on the right track, I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Representative Teason, I guess, Perry, I will admit and agree with you that Perry did make the changes in 2010 that did put them on the trajectory for sustainability. But we also have reform in this 6A amendment that would separate them different from the other plans, especially on the augmentation. That was something that I think we felt very strongly around the table that we should reform that. We are one of two states that still have that in our pension plan. I believe that we we should do something with augmentation, which is an annual increase in the pension payable to a person, to a member who has left employment but is not old enough to begin to receive the pension. And, you know, that's something that I think we have agreed to as a commission to adjust. Representative Thiessen.
Well, I can see where this is going. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Okay. Senator Schoen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I would just probably remind the members who should know very well that, you know, in these different plans come different employees, different classifications, and they also have different benefit packages depending upon where they work and what their role is. And I know that, you know, a lot of the things that come with the pensions in my world as a police officer, you know, I don't pay into Social Security as it comes to that, so our pension reflects that, and the benefits are also reflecting of that, so it's different. And I think that there are differences that are going to be okay because they're negotiated packages that we have folks that decide to come work for cities, counties, states, school districts that are, again, I'll go back to this, that they know they're not going to make six figures a year, or they're not going to be in the top 1% off the work that they do, but they know that, you know, I use the story when I've had friends that were getting 20% profit sharing when things were going really well in the economy, but I was still getting 2-3% raises. But it was also part of the package that I knew I was going to get a good pension and I was going to have a good retirement and have some stability after work was done. So I do understand the concept where we're trying to go with having some more normalization, but I don't know that it's a one-size-fits-all package here. And I think that it does make sense for us. I think, again, still learning, but we've had 30 years of investment returns from the State Board of Investments that have never been lower than 8% or something like that, if I remember hearing that correctly. And so, I mean, if the plan itself is on the right trajectory and our investments are doing well in that path, I don't know that today we need to, again, put the absolute stop on something if it's going the right direction in one area. So that's my opinion, and I appreciate you hearing me on.
Thank you, Senator Schoen. Further comments? Okay. Representative Thiessen, did you move the 6A?
I will now.
Thank you. Representative Thiessen moves the 17038-6A amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The motion does not prevail. Amendments. Okay. Members, we have no more amendments to this bill, LCPR 17-038. Any questions, comments? Representative Thiessen?
So, Madam Chair, can you just explain what we're doing next? So, because we have a whole bunch of other amendments. So, are we at what's the process here?
The other amendments, Representative Thiessen, are to the Omnibus Retirement Bill. We are done with the work of this session, and we have been amending into the Omnibus Pension Bill. So we do have some amendments that we need to adopt in the next, number 5 on your file. Representative Thiessen?
Thank you. Are there 2 bills?
There is right now. And then we're going to amend this bill into the Omnibus Pension Bill, and we'll be moving with 1 bill forward.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Further questions, comments?
Chair, I'm sorry.
Excuse me?
You were looking at me as though you had a question. Did I miss something?
I would like somebody to move the bill.
I will go ahead and move. I'm sorry, I was working on something else here.
Okay.
Madam Chair, please ask me again what you're looking to do. The file number?
It's LCP. Representative O'Driscoll moves document LCPR 17-038 as amended, be recommended to pass and incorporated into the 2017 Omnibus Pension Bill.
Questions? Madam Chair, I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The document is adopted. Okay, members, now we have file number 5 in front of you, and we do have some amendments there that we need to get this Omnibus Pension Bill in shape. Thank you. I am going to turn it over to Ms. Lincheski and Ms. Barth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the omnibus bill, delete everything amendment, so the Senate file 545-2A amendment. I'm just going to give kind of a brief overview. This is what we've compiled into the omnibus bill so far throughout this process. So Article 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5 are all of the plan's administrative provisions. So these are administrative or technical changes that the commission has approved thus far. They are not substantive. Article 6 just updates actuarial assumptions. We did a majority of that actually last year, so this is a carryover from last year's omnibus bill. Article 7 deals with volunteer firefighter relief associations governed by Chapter 424A. This article incorporates the 2015-2016 Volunteer Fire Relief Association Working Group recommendations. It increases the maximum lump sum service pension amount for defined benefits plans. It addresses the City of Austin's issue, and it establishes that fire aid work group that will be convened over the summer. Article 8 are just specifically MSRS administered plan provisions. Again, clarifies the deadline for submitting an application for disability benefits. That was something from last year, actually. And then the other two items were what we dealt with a couple of months ago, adding more employment positions from the MSRS general plan into the MSRS correctional plan. Article 9 is the pair-administered retirement plan modifications. And this also includes volunteer firefighters who are governed under Chapter 353G. So it has those provisions that we discussed, specifically creating this mechanism to transfer assets out of the para volunteer firefighter plan into a local relief association governed under Chapter 424A. Article 10, those were all provisions we did last year that you've already approved, dealing with authorizing, for example, public retirement plans to accept gifts, donations, bequests, life insurance, death benefits. Article 11 are all of the individual constituent issues we've dealt with, or small group bills, and then Article 12 are just technical corrections.
Okay. So, members, we have the 2A amendment before us, which is the delete everything amendment. We need to adopt this. Okay, the big ones, okay. And then the next amendment is the SO 545-5A, Department of Human Services changes to MSRS correctional inclusion procedure. Am I talking on that? Is that just... Okay, Ms. Barth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in Article 8 of the 2A amendment, we codified DHS's review process for including additional employment positions in the MSRS correctional plan. And after that was added into that was approved by the commission, I sat down and spoke with DHS just to make sure that everything transferred easily. So essentially, I took their internal policy language and codified it. So we just sat down, and so these are just technical amendments that we sat down to make sure that what is now being put into the statute conforms with their internal policy and practice. So it's technical, it's not substantive.
Questions, comments on the 5A amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas.
Did you want to adopt the 2A?
We have the amendments to the 2A, so we'll come
so
back.
So then we'll
them.
Come, or they're all right. Amendments to the 2A.
Thank
okay,
you.
Thank
yep.
you.
Representative Thiessen, the 6A amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This provision, although it's very long, it's pretty simple. It would just basically, instead of the state of Minnesota paying aid for local fire departments, it would require the local communities to pay that aid. So the fire departments, volunteer, professional, or otherwise, are going to be held harmless under this provision. But it generates about $30 million or more in bottom line savings to the state of Minnesota. The Minneapolis will take the biggest hit under this, almost $2 million in reduced aid to the city of Minneapolis. the city of Plymouth will have to pick up the cost of $486,000 that was otherwise paid for by the state of Minnesota. The city of Owatonna, $164,000 that was otherwise paid by the city of state of Minnesota. That community will have to pick up the cost of those pensions. The city of Fairmont will have to pick up about $89,000 that the state currently is paying for those pensions. The city of Rochester, a little over $500,000 that your city will have to pick up instead of the state covering the cost of those pensions and state aids. The city of Rogers, just under $100,000 will have to be picked up. The city of Prior Lake will have to pick up an additional $210,000 that the state of Minnesota currently pays subsidizes essentially the Prior Lake to pay for the cost of these volunteer firefighters. Belle Plaine, $58,000. Burnsville, actually a fairly significant amount as well, $275,000 that is being subsidized to the city of Burnsville right now in state aid that city would otherwise have to pick up. And so this just seems like a fair way to proceed. It seems like we're going down the path in this pension commission of deciding that promises made to local communities to cover pension costs are going to be ignored in order to balance our state's budget. And this actually just spreads that across the state, that burden to local communities across the state, instead of picking winners and losers. And so I think this is, if the Pension Commission is going to go down the path, a path I actually disagree with, but if it's going to go down the path of dumping our obligations back on local communities, this seems like a much fairer way to do it because it actually spreads it out across the entire state of Minnesota instead of, again, picking winners and losers.
Thank you, Representative Thiessen. Questions, comments?
And I think there might be people that want to testify on this.
Representative Thiessen, we're not taking any testimony.
But this is a new provision, Madam Chair. I think it's completely in order that we take testimony on this provision.
Well, thank you. We are, I have state gov in 10 minutes.
Well, that shouldn't stop us from the public from being able to speak. Your schedule shouldn't stop the public from being able to weigh in on pretty important legislation.
Well, Representative Thiessen, I think I will not be allowing testimony today. Thank you for your advice on that. Further comments and questions on the 6A amendment?
I'd like a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. A roll call will be granted. Senator Sinjum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Thiessen, maybe you can help me with this. And I've actually thought about this for a long time. You know, we've got 850 cities out there, and an awful lot of volunteer fire department and volunteers that just absolutely give a lot, and they give a lot. We've all driven by our fire halls and seen these individuals in their day and night giving of their lives to their communities, and they don't have to do that. And it's getting harder and harder and harder to recruit these kind of people to do that kind of work. And I often think long term, you know, what are we always going to have this volunteer group of people that do this? And I think, you know, supporting their pension, I think, is one way at least the state can be of help here to those local communities. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of fear the day. I probably won't live long enough. But if these cities can't sustain their own fire departments, guess who's going to do it? It's the state of Minnesota. And I think this is just contrary to at least the way I'm thinking about this from the standpoint of supporting these communities as opposed to cutting them loose, if you will, from this pension contribution that we make to these local communities. So just help me understand your direction versus what I think. And I think we ought to work to sustain local fire departments because I think they're just fundamental to fire protection in many of our small cities. And I'm not talking about Rochester. I'm talking about all these small cities out there that just depend on their fire departments. So help me if you can.
Thank you, Senator Sinjum. Representative Thiessen.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm not going to be voting for this provision. But I think when we're voting for this provision, if you vote against this provision, what you're saying is the state of Minnesota should honor its obligations to local communities instead of dropping that obligation, whether that community is large or that community is small. If you vote for the provision, then I think you're buying in to and being consistent in the idea that if the state of Minnesota has made a promise to a community to support their pension, It shouldn't, especially in a time of surplus, it shouldn't be a time where we actually stab that community in the back and take away the aid that's going to that community. So I think that this is really just a vote about whether we want to support our local communities or not. I'm going to be probably voting with you on this provision because I agree with you that if we've made a promise to support volunteer fire departments or other pensions in local communities, we should honor that promise. Unfortunately, we're not doing that this year. Because you're taking a ton of money away from the city of Minneapolis in MRF, which is exactly the same thing that this provision does.
Representative Thiessen, this is a strange conversation, but all right, Representative Thiessen removes.
Madam President,
yes, Senator Schoen.
Just real quick, I just want to agree with Senator Senja, but I think that extends beyond the fire departments. Who is going to do the job? And I know I'm hearing more of that from younger teachers. We're having problems recruiting troopers across the board. This is just one silo of recruitment and retention. I know there's more to that as it goes across all of our state employees. We've got folks in our security hospital, long-term treatment facilities that are working double shifts and being mandated overtime because we can't recruit and retain folks. Just something to remember as we go forward that this is part of that package. Who is going to do the job in the future?
Thank you, Senator Schoen. Representative Thiessen.
Just in closing, Madam Chair, I mean, to be clear, this is about the MRF provision because there's no difference between what you are doing to the city of Minneapolis, which is already budgeted for next year and taking millions of dollars away from them, and this provision. There's no reason that we should be sending $486,000 to the city of Plymouth when the representative from the city of Plymouth is taking $20 million away from the city of Minneapolis. What this vote is about, if you vote, just to be clear, this is a sense of the Pension Commission. If you vote for this provision, you're supporting this notion that we can take money away. If you vote against this provision, it's the sense of the Pension Commission that we should be honoring our obligations that, and commitments that we've made to local communities. And I think that that sends a very significant message as we move forward in negotiations that what's being done with MRF is unacceptable as well.
Madam Chair, I move a recess of the commission until 11, or to, excuse me, until 10:20 or the call of the chair. The House needs to go into session, and by House rule, we are not allowed to meet and to conduct business during such time. So, Madam Chair, I ask for a recess of the commission, the call of the chair, again, until approximately 10:20.
The commission is in recess till 10:20. The Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement will come to order. Members, we have a 6A amendment before us. A roll call has been requested. Roll call is granted. Further comments, questions on the 6A amendment? Clerk will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Senator Dames.
No.
Senator Jasinski.
No.
Senator Limmer.
No.
Senator Pappas.
No.
Senator Schoen. Oh, he's not here. Senator Senjum. Representative O'Driscoll.
No.
Representative Anderson.
No.
Representative Murphy. Not here. Representative Peterson.
No.
Representative Thiessen.
No.
Representative Vogel.
No.
There will be...
there were no...
There being no ayes, the amendment is not adopted. We have the members. We have the SO 545-7A amendment before us. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And can I just ask staff which of 7A or 8A is which? Can you just let me know? One.
Ms. Barth.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Thiessen. So I believe the 7A, the funding begins right away, and the 8A, it delays the funding to 2019.
Okay, thank you. So on this, I would move...
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd move the 7A.
Representative Thiessen moves the 7A amendment. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this is a bill that we, and I want to thank the Chair for giving us so much time, a month ago probably, This is a bill that we had some extensive discussion about. It's the bill that would increase benefits for local police and firefighters that decided to stay in their local plans as opposed to going into the consolidated into para at the time of consolidation. Just to remind members, this again, these again are people that have at least 20 years of service defending, protecting our communities. And there is, in many cases, a significant differential between the benefits that those firefighters get and firefighters who worked 20 years and were in para. And in particular, I just want to remind folks that this actually affects some retired police and firefighters, but it affects many, many more widows, largely, or surviving spouses of those police and firefighters. And I want to just take folks back to the report that the Pension Commission did on this, where, for instance, there are widows of firefighters who were getting several thousand dollars a month, $4,000 to $5,000 a month when their spouse was alive, and when their spouse died, that amount dropped to $1,500 a month, a very substantial change in the pension that they were receiving. And those widows, those surviving spouses, throughout the course of these changes, when choices were able to be made, they actually did not have a choice. They were never given the choice to join para, or even if their spouse decided to affirmatively stay in the local plan, or they, at the end of the day, or started to go into para, they were dropped back into their local plan, the surviving spouse, even if the choice was made to go into para by the active, by the firefighter or police officer. I think that there's some real fundamental unfairness in this situation. This would cost us about $1 million a year to make these folks get a little, either at average or get them a little closer, increase their pension by 20%, whichever is less, to where para police and firefighters are. And I would just, you know, finally just remind us that, you know, these are, you know, if we want to talk about the subsidy, and there would be a subsidy, that's, I would wholly admit that, that we are helping these folks out. But we subsidize all kinds of things in this state. And if there's anybody that we should be subsidizing, it seems to me it should be these local firefighters, you know, from St. Paul, many of the widows, but from Faribault, from probably every district represented in the commission. These are people that protect our communities, again, for over 20 years. And we should figure out a way to allow them to live out their lives in dignity. The last piece I would just say is that PARA did take this up. I think that was one of the questions. And they can come forward, but my understanding is they decided not to take a position one way or another on this proposal. And so I would encourage us to go ahead and help these couple of hundred people across the state of Minnesota who, again, gave great service to the state of Minnesota. And it seems the least we can do to try to improve their golden years a little bit.
Thank you, Representative Thiessen. Questions, comments? Yes, Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Thiessen, I know you've been working on this for a while, and can you show me in the amendment the funding source for the proposed changes that we're looking at?
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. There is no funding source. It would be the same funding source that you're going to pay for the school districts or for the correctional changes in the para-police and fire plan. That doesn't seem to be an issue for the Pension Commission right now. I'm sure as you go to find those sources to pay to help offset the cost of the school districts, you can find another $1 million to cover the cost of this.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Thiessen, to follow your logic from earlier today, because there was no funding source that was currently identified for the other benefit adjustments, then this would come out of current retirees who are in the police and fire, correct? And so there would be a direct subsidy to those folks if we were to adopt your amendment as it's presented here today. Am I correct on that?
Representative Thiessen.
Madam Chair, and you, I can defer to staff. My understanding is we were going to put in a state aid flow of $1 million a year to pay for this.
Ms. Lencheski.
Representative Thiessen.
In fact, in subparagraph D, it says that.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just asking for the amendment author to do that. Thank you for finding it for us and clarifying that before we make our decision.
Okay. Further comments, questions on the 7A amendment? Representative Thiessen removes his motion on the SO545-7A amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The motion does not prevail. Division has been requested. All those in favor, please raise their hand. All those opposed? The motion does not prevail. Members, we have the 8A amendment before us. Representative Thiessen.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. This is the same amendment, except that it starts the payment stream in the next biennium, so there's no fiscal impact in the current biennium. You know, it's, again, disappointing to me, I guess, that the Pension Commission doesn't see fit to do something that should be fairly easy, it seems to me, in the scope of a $1.6 billion budget surplus to help out police and firefighters, again, that live in all of our communities, and their widows, who had no choice about the benefits they were going to receive, were essentially forced into this position. You know, typically, when people make choices, I can see that we would, there would be a consideration of that, but these widows, who again are seeing 60, sometimes 70% drop in their retirement security from $5,000 down to $1,500 a month, that there's not something we can do to help them. And it doesn't cost that much money. It's, again, about $1 million a year for us to do that over 10 years, spread over 10 years. The PARA board decided not to take a position one way or another on this, so they had the chance to support it, but they also had the chance to come out and oppose it and decided not to do so. So the preferable one would have been the A7 or the 7A, but I would ask people's support now, since it kicks it out to the next biennium, that we accept this amendment and help these folks out. I wish someone could give me some kind of an explanation about why you all wouldn't want to help out these firefighters and police officers who gave 20 years of service and their widows when we subsidize huge businesses all the time, when we're going to give estate tax cuts to, you know, 1,000 people who have millions of dollars in estates, why we can't help these widows out at the same time, I really don't get. So I'd love someone to actually explain that to me.
Questions, comments? Representative Thiessen, we did have at least half of a hearing on this very issue a month ago. And I think we're well informed. I think it's very expensive. I think it is something that we will continue to talk with, but I would like an affirmation from the fund to say, yes, we need to do that, and we did not receive that. Representative Thiessen.
Madam Chair, we just voted earlier today to to not take the advice of TRA on a proposal you wanted to do. And now you're saying your excuse is that you won't do anything unless PARA blesses this one? I mean, that's fairly inconsistent, Madam Chair. And expensive. When you're giving huge tax cuts to people with huge estates, and we can't find $1 million out of a $1.6 billion budget deficit, surplus, to help out people who are living on $1,500 a month when their husbands put in at least 20 years of service, that doesn't seem very expensive to me, quite frankly, Madam Chair. I don't buy that argument. So I don't understand exactly why you don't want to do this. I still, even though, and I do appreciate, as I said at the top, that you gave us as much time as you did to hear this bill out. I think that there's a very compelling argument. I was not convinced about this a year ago, but as I've studied this more, I think there's a very compelling argument to doing this. There might be counterarguments to it. I haven't heard it yet. I haven't heard anybody on the Pension Commission make those arguments. The fact that PERA didn't take a position. In fact, TRA took a position against the vote we just took a little while ago. PERA was neutral on this. So that argument doesn't add up. And $1 million in the context of our state budget, anyway, it makes no sense to me, and it seems really heartless.
Representative Thiessen, thank you for that. We will take the roll on the 8A amendment. Any further questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The motion does not prevail. Okay. Members, we have the 9A amendment before us. Okay, Ms. Barth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this amendment goes towards the fire state aid work group that will be assembled this summer to study the allocation of fire state aid between volunteer firefighters and para police and fire employer contributions. So there was one slight technical change. It's in the bill currently. It says section 353.10. It should say 353A.10, so it's just correcting that. And then after further looking into the groups that will be assembled, there are no townships currently that have combination fire departments, so no township has both paid and volunteer firefighters. So it made more sense then to take that out and have there be two representatives of Minnesota cities.
Okay. Questions, comments? Representative Driscoll moves Yes, Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I just had a question about were these changes approved by the work group? Or suggested by the work group, or
Ms. Barth?
I missed that. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Madam Chair and Senator Pappas, this does not come from the work group. We're just creating a new. It's a temporary study group to look at the allocation. It has nothing to do with the volunteer firefighter work
group.
Okay,
thank you.
Senator Pappas moves SO545-9A amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Members, we have the 10A before us, and that, Ms. Lincheski.
Okay. Excuse me. This one is another amendment to the omnibus bill. It makes technical changes. The first several changes down to line 1.11 are cleanup changes relating to a para definition. The next set of changes here are to give the executive director a little bit more flexibility in determining when a death has occurred, reduces the burden on the deceased's relatives in showing that the death occurred. The next set of changes relate to privatizations on the para side. So these are privatizations where employers leave para. Revises a reporting requirement. This is over on the second page, lines 2.15 to 2.18. This reporting I don't believe it's been done, but it's unnecessary, at least according to PARA, and I have not discovered any need for this. On behalf of the Pension Commission, it doesn't seem that it's a necessary reporting requirement. And then the final changes relate to a reference to Duluth teachers. And, of course, Duluth teachers has been merged into TRA, so that reference is no longer necessary.
Okay. Questions, comments? Representative O'Driscoll.
Madam Chair, I'll move the 10A amendment.
Representative O'Driscoll moves the SO545-10A amendment. As all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Amendment is adopted. Members, I am withdrawing the SO545-11A amendment. And then, members, we have the A17-0442 technical amendment. Ms. Lincheski or Ms. Barth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this amendment is purely technical. It comes from the revisor's office. It just cleans up language that's currently in Senate file 545 that won't merge well when the new provisions that we've adopted are merged into the bill. So it just deletes certain sections that are already being taken care of in the other bill. So it's purely technical.
Great. Questions, comments on the technical amendment? Senator Pappas moves the A17-0442 technical amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion is adopted. So, members, now we have before you the SO545-2A amendment. It's a delete all amendment. So we're getting the bill in the shape it needs to be. Questions and comments? Representative Thiessen.
Thanks. Just a few questions. So I just want to clarify. I think I saw it in there, but the provision that the laborers are interested in is in the bill?
Madam Chair and Representative Thiessen, yes. That has been carried over.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. And then we had a discussion earlier on the proposals brought forward by the volunteer firefighters around CPA review and whether they could do both financial and some broader review. And we are going to come back to that question. Did we ever come back to that question?
Ms. Barth.
Madam Chair and Representative Thiessen, we never received any sort of information on that. So, no, we have nothing new on that.
Madam Chair, so that's not in the bill?
It is not in the bill.
Barth. Okay. Further comments, questions? Representative Driscoll?
Madam Chair, I have no comments. If you'd like me to procedurally move some things, just let me know.
Can we get a roll call?
A roll call has been requested. Roll call will be granted. Representative O'Driscoll moves the delete all amendment SO545-2A as amended be adopted into the 2017 Omnibus Pension Bill. The clerk will take the roll. The chair votes aye.
Senator Dames.
Aye.
Senator Jasinski.
Aye.
Senator Limmer is absent. Senator Pappas.
No.
Senator Schoen. Senator Senjum is absent. Representative Albright is absent. Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Aye.
Representative Peterson.
Aye.
Representative Thiessen.
No.
Representative Vogel.
Yes.
Members, we need to find a few more other members. So we will leave this vote sheet open. We know we have a conference committee going on right now, too. Representative O'Driscoll, would you like to withdraw your motion on this bill? And we are going to go search for a couple more members and then take up the motion for the assumption of for salary and payroll growth.
Madam Chair, I'll temporarily withdraw my motion.
Thank you. Representative O'Driscoll temporarily removes his motion on the 2A amendment. Members, we have the motion number 6, the motion LCPR-17-M3, the MSRS, the PARA, and the St. Paul Teachers assumptions for salary and payroll growth. Before you. Questions or comments?
Madam Chair, could staff maybe give us a little background as to what we're looking at here and how it might affect each of the individual plans listed?
Ms. Lincheski.
Yes. Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, this came in to us at about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. The plans, if the investment rate of return drops to 7.5, they have worked with their actuary to determine that their salary growth and payroll growth assumptions need to be amended. And those are set forth in the statute. So in your materials is a letter from the plans, and this only relates to 3 of the plans, so MSRS, St. Paul Teachers, and PERA. There is a letter from the executive directors for each of those plans to the commission, and it attaches a letter from GRS Retirement Consulting the actuary for the three plans and spells out what the new assumptions should be. If you have an interest in what they currently are, the omnibus bill that we were just looking at, 545-2A, on page 67, and actually starting on page 68, these assumptions are all set forth there, and they are being the request is that the commission approve the assumptions so that they can be used in their next actuarial valuation, which would be on July 1, 2017. And these changes should only take effect, and this is in the last sentence of the motion, only if the 7.5 investment rate of return stays in the bill and then is enacted eventually this session.
Questions, comments? Okay. Representative O'Driscoll renews his motion on the LCPR 17-M3 motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The motion prevails. Okay, Representative O'Driscoll.
Madam Chair, if it's the wishes of the chair, I'd like to bring my motion back to the committee.
Representative O'Driscoll renews his motion to move the delete all amendment of SO 545-2A as amended be adopted into the 2017 omnibus pension bill.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, there's one more vote after this, right? Then we adopt the, or is this our final vote? This is our final vote. Could I make a few comments?
Absolutely.
Then? Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought we were, I thought we still had to adopt the final bill. That's why
I should have made that more clear. I'm sorry, Senator
Right. Pappas. Madam Chair, it disappoints me that we don't have an agreement in the Pension Commission. I think there's still potential to do that between the governor and the House and the Senate and the Democrats and the plans. I think that everybody has to be a little bit more flexible and be willing to negotiate, and maybe not for a plan B, that we can reach an agreement on something that the governor will sign. Because it's really, really important that we pass the sustainability plan this year. Last year was bad enough that we didn't pass one. And so I hope that, you know, real money can be found. I hope that some of the provisions in the plan, I think it mostly has to do with TRA. I think everyone else can kind of live with the changes or is happy with the changes. So I just hope that we can find a path to make a few minor adjustments in some of the TRA provisions that everyone can agree on so that we actually can get a plan passed this year and into law. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. And members, that is my goal, too. I just received a text from Commissioner France wanting to sit down with the governor today on pensions, and I will be taking him up on that. Further comments? Representative O'Driscoll.
Madam Chair, I want to thank the commission for their work and efforts, and I think that we were also in the middle of a roll call. If there isn't any other business, we can move with the business before us.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. The chair votes yes.
Dames. Senator Dames.
Yes.
Senator Jasinski.
Yes.
Senator Limmer is absent. Senator Pappas.
Yes.
Senator Schoen.
No.
Senator Senchum.
Yes.
Representative Albright is absent. Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Aye.
Representative Peterson.
Aye.
Representative Thiessen.
No.
Representative Vogel.
Yes.
There being 8 yeses and 4 noes, the motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. And members, that is the conclusion of our work with the Pension Commission. And I pledge to you all that.
Is that considered then the vote? The Pension Commission has approved this proposal, and now it'll be introduced and heard in state government.
Yes, Senator Pappas, we have
we just finished the motion. The omnibus pension bill is before us. It moves to the State Government Finance Committee in the House and in the Senate here shortly, and then to rules on the Senate side. I'm not sure about in the House, and to Ways and Means and Finance very shortly after that.
Madam Chair?
My pledge is to continue to work on the bill with the governor and the commissioner and the House and the Senate members, too. Unfortunately, we could not make that happen beforehand. As I had explained, there was many cancellations of this, but I do think we have a very good bill and a foundation of a wonderful bill for pensions to stabilize these funds moving forward. And I will defend this bill because we did include everybody. We had many meetings with staff and the fund managers and all those involved to make sure that we could present a bill that does push it forward. And we have been known nationwide as a state that has been serious about their pensions, been aggressive, but have much more healthy pensions than anybody else, I would say. I would defend our pension plans. So I want to thank everybody in the audience that has worked with us, that has endured a very long session going forward. And again, I pledge to you, and I'm sure Representative Driscoll and all of the members pledge to you that we will continue to take this very serious. Representative Thiessen.
I have a point of parliamentary inquiry.
Representative Thiessen.
Is it legitimate to withdraw a motion in the middle of a roll call? I don't think it is.
So, Representative Thiessen.
And we did not have no one on the prevailing side of the last vote. I think the vote actually failed because there weren't four Senate votes. And there was no one on the prevailing side that actually called to bring the bill back up. I don't think the bill's passed, Madam Chair.
Okay.
So, but I'd like a rule. I'd like, can you withdraw? I don't think you can withdraw a motion while a vote is going on.
Okay. Representative Scott, would you like to renew your motion?
I renew the motion.
Representative Thiessen.
What motion? The vote failed because there weren't four Senate votes. It has to be someone on the prevailing side that can actually bring the bill back up. Representative Driscoll was not on the prevailing
Representative,
side.
Representative Thiessen, I believe the motion was correct. I'm fairly certain that we did it. The motion was withdrawn.
But you can't withdraw a motion in the middle of a roll call.
Okay. Representative Thiessen will get a ruling from nonpartisan staff. Okay, commission will come back to order. Representative Thiessen, if you had a motion to object, That motion should have been made at the time of Representative Driscoll's. The motion was held open, and then he withdrew his motion, and then we brought it back up. This is not a committee. This is a commission. So the rules that I think you're pertaining to do not apply to, and I am certain that how we proceeded was correct.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to win this, I know, but what rules actually apply to us then if committee and House and Senate rules don't apply?
Well, the rule that your motion should have been made at the time that we held it open and then withdrew that motion.
So Madam Chair, there's no need for an objection. There just was, you can't withdraw a motion. There was nothing in for it. And the second motion that Representative O'Driscoll made is an invalid motion because the bill wasn't before us anymore. It had failed. The only person that could bring that bill up.
I did not say it had failed. I held it open, Senator Dames.
But you can't do that in the middle of a vote.
Madam
Certainly
Chair, the vote was not completed because you held the vote open. The motion did not fail because you held the vote open. After the vote was held open, you asked to have the vote, to have the motion withdrawn. At that point, there should have been made an objection. No objection being made, the motion was withdrawn, it was brought back and voted on. We did not complete the vote on the first motion.
You can't make a motion while a vote is pending. That's basic.
Madam Chair.
You can't make an objection after the vote has been taken.
But
Senator Davis.
Madam Chair, the other option would be to go back to where the vote was held open. If the vote is if to withdraw the motion was wrong, then we would go back to the last step, which is really don't make much sense. But if we want to go back to the last step was prior to the motion to withdraw, was you said the vote would be held open. So then we're back to the votes held open. So it's the same way.
Representative Jason, would that satisfy your objection? Yeah, I am.
Madam Chair.
Representative O'Driscoll.
You did not announce the procedural, and Representative Thiessen's question aside, you did not announce the outcome of the roll. And so if we do go back to where we were, you have not announced the roll. Not all members who became present before the roll was called got a chance to vote. And if we go back to that point, then we would have Senator Senjum here, which would have resulted in the same outcome that would have occurred with my motion. So procedurally, we can go back and do that, or we can go forward with that, whichever the chair is most comfortable with, because the outcome is going to be the same. You did not announce the roll by the time I withdrew, so that would still then be an open roll, and you could certainly take those members who have not yet voted and take their votes into consideration. So,
and thank you. There's been a motion to move. Representative Thiessen, I do have some final comments, if you don't mind. Okay. Commission is adjourned.